Welcome, everyone. Would you please start the recording, and then we can start our presentation. I'd like to welcome everyone. My name is David Olive. I'm Vice President for Policy Development Support at ICANN, and I am conducting this webinar from my office in Istanbul, Turkey, our regional headquarters. It is our pleasure, as part of the introduction to ICANN 51, to provide this update policy briefing so to prepare us all for the activities and discussions that are taking place soon in Los Angeles at ICANN 51. Just a few housekeeping announcements. We are going to be muting all the lines. That way there will be clarity and not any problem of interference. At the end, there will be a question and answer period, and we'll ask you to press star 1, record your name, and be placed in a queue. But in the meantime, of course, if there's a question during the presentations of our various substantive experts, you may put it in the chat, and we'll make every effort to answer it as soon as we can. As well as making sure that we'll provide an answer to you toward the end of our presentation. With that, I would like to just give a general outline in addition to providing the update on policy activities expected at ICANN 51. We'll also present a bit of an outlook on the meeting, some of the focus areas, and then go into the issues topics relating to our policy development activities. In terms of ICANN 51, the outlook, since this is the AGM, meeting that we have various transitions, people are moving on and off elected councils and executive committees, there will be a leadership training program for these new leaders coming on to these groups, and that will be happening just before the beginning of the ICANN meeting. Obviously, Monday is our big opening ceremony. We'll have guest speakers, and our CEO, Fadi Shahadi, will present a update on activities since our last ICANN meeting and a preview of things to come in the next few months. In particular, the supporting organizations and advisory committees have developed a high-interest topic session on Monday morning, focusing on the role of advisory committees in the policy development process, as well as another issue looking at new issues possibly to be looked at in the next round of the new GTLD program. Tuesday is an important day where many of the stakeholders and constituency groups have their internal meetings, face-to-face meetings at ICANN, and they also have important meetings with the board of directors on that day. Wednesday, again, for a view into the operations of the Governmental Advisory Committee, there'll be an open forum in the morning that'll explain their role and some of their topics that they are looking at and the activities that they are engaged in. There will also be an update from our address supporting organization on the numbers and the number allocation activity. And Thursday, again, the public forum with a community recognition and a board meeting following that. And the public forum will also have remote hubs supported by our at-large structures in various regions. Of course, at ICANN 51, there will be three major focus sessions. One, of course, on the accountability and governance of the cross-community working group meeting on Monday, ICANN accountability discussions, as well as an update on the transition of the NTIA stewardship. Now, to turn to our area of policy development, as you know, a primary role of ICANN is to coordinate the policy development relating to the global Internet systems of unique identifiers. ICANN's open and transparent policy development mechanisms promote well-informed decisions based on expert advice from a diversity of views of you, our stakeholders. This bottom-up consensus approach results in recommendations for the domain name system and the coordination of that system that are fair, effective, and carefully considered with inputs from all of our communities. And, of course, the end result is to make sure that there are policies that preserve and enhance the security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet. Policy recommendations are formed and refined by the ICANN community through our supporting organizations. They are listed here, the address supporting organization for the numbers, the country code name supporting organization for the country code TLDs, the generic name supporting organization, the GNSO. Of course, the advisory committees do have a role to have input and influence on these processes and recommendations, all comprised by volunteers such as yourself in a bottom-up, open, and transparent process. And the advisory committees are listed here from at-large, the government advisory group, the root service systems, and the security and stability advisory experts. I'd like to use this infographic that shows the activity of ICANN, including the importance of the policy development process, and your role as active participants in either working groups or through your inputs by public comments or in other ways, voicing your opinion as an input into our policy development recommendations. The goal of this webinar, of course, is to update you on the current policy work going on at each stage of the process. It's important to have an update, and at ICANN meetings, the face-to-face sessions provide a good focus for the latest steps in the recommendations that are being developed and the consensus that is being formed around these issues. Of course, we'll brief you on other initiatives and opportunities where you can make a difference and input your ideas in the working group efforts and other activities at ICANN. And, of course, give you an opportunity to answer, ask any questions, elicit your feedback. And, of course, we always try to use the latest. And so we have the webinar hashtag appearing here at ICANN Policy. Before going into the topics covered this session, we have a lot of materials to cover. Note that we will make sure that the slides and the recording of this session are available to you at the end of the session. We'll provide a link where you can access them so that you will be able to refer back to them and you don't have to worry about taking too many notes on the topics. But in this session, we'll be looking at first some of the work of cross-community working groups. These are groups that are formed across our supporting organizations and advisory committees looking at various topics, and the topics are obviously listed here. We will also focus on some of the topics being discussed in the generic name supporting organization. A few of them are here. And our subject matter experts will go into some of the details on these issues. Also, for the country code supporting organization, some of their hot topics. The address supporting organization will also be meeting in Los Angeles, and there'll be a brief update on some of the issues on the number resource allocation. Also at ICANN will be the Root Server Systems Advisory Committee and talking about their latest restructuring and some of the issues that they'll be focusing on as well. And finally, the three other advisory committees, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, the Governmental Advisory Committee, and our At-Large Advisory Committee. These are some of the topics that will be covered in our webinar today. With that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleague to review the cross-community working groups. I introduce now Mary Wong. Mary, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David. Hello, everybody. This is Mary Wong. I'm a member of the policy staff. I'm originally from Singapore, although I now live in the United States, where I work from the ICANN Office of One in the beautiful state of New Hampshire. It's my privilege to kick off the presentation today, and for those of you who have been to prior webinars we've done in the past, you've noticed that we've got this new section on cross-community working groups. And the reason for that is that, as many of you know, there is now an increasing reliance on cross-community working groups in the ICANN community. And this is because there are a number of issues coming up and that have come up that are of common interest and that cut across ICANN's various supporting organizations and advisory committees, or the SOs and the ACs. As such, it's very clear that there is a need to ensure that the collaboration works well and that the outcomes are truly a product of cross-community effort. But as many of you know as well, every SO and AC has its own scope of mission or remit and very different operating procedures in some instances. So there are some challenges in having the different SOs and ACs come together for this kind of collaborative work. That's not to say that there haven't been past successful cross-community working groups, and I know there are a number of people on this webinar who actually were participants on some of those working groups. Nonetheless, there has never been a uniform framework or a set of principles or even a template to guide the formation of these groups, how they're chartered, how they operate, what decision-making procedures and rules would apply, and what happens when they end. So in March earlier this year, the CCNSO and the GNSO councils approved a charter for a group that would do exactly that. And in fact, some people call it CWG squared because it's a cross-community working group to look at principles for future cross-community working groups, which is a bit of a mouthful. So the group is in full swing, and although it was chartered by the CCNSO and the GNSO, I'm happy to report that there are participants from across the ICANN community, including from the SAC and the ALAC and others. The group has reviewed some prior CWG efforts. It's mapped them to the typical life cycle of a working group with the goal to produce either a set of guidelines or something like a template that would correspond to each phase of a typical working group like those that I mentioned earlier. As I mentioned, the group is also working full speed ahead, and my colleagues will speak to you about some of the efforts that are going on already as a cross-community working group, and so there is some urgency to the work of the CWG squared. As such, if you're interested in helping develop these templates and guidelines, please look at the links here, as well as attend the CWG's meeting at ICANN 51 on the Wednesday of the 15th of October. And on that note, I'm going to hand you over to my colleague, Marika Konings, to speak about one of these cross-community working groups. Marika?
Thank you very much, Mary. So thank you all for joining us today. My name is Marika Konings. I'm based in the ICANN office in Brussels and a senior policy director and team leader for the generic name supporting organization, also known as the GNSO. I'll be first talking to you today about the cross-community working group to develop an Internet-assigned numbers authority, or IANA, stewardship transition proposal on naming-related functions. So, as many of you are undoubtedly aware, the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, or NTIA, announced on the 14th of March of this year its intent to transition some of the key Internet domain name functions to global multi-stakeholder community. As part of that announcement, the NTIA asked ICANN to convene a multi-stakeholder process to develop a plan to transition the U.S. government stewardship role with regard to the IANA functions and related root zone management. As the IANA functions cover different areas, such as numbers, protocol parameters, and names, and as a result, they also involve different affected communities, the idea is that each of those directly affected communities take the lead in developing a transition proposal that relates directly to their area of interest. And in doing so, taking into account the four principles that NTIA has put forward as a requirement for the final transition proposal. And those four principles are support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model, maintain the security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet DNS, and meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA services, and maintain the openness of the Internet. So the formation of this specific cross-community working group, which has been formed at the initiative of the GNSO as well as the country code supporting organization, the CCNSO, is basically the response of the naming community to this request to develop a transition proposal that specifically focuses on the IANA functions that relate to the domain name system. So the cross-community working group is currently in formation. The charter has been adopted by the GNSO, the CCNSO, the At-Large Advisory Committee, or ALAC, and the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, or ASAC, and is under consideration by the Governmental Advisory Committee, also known as the GAC. A first meeting of the group is scheduled for coming Monday, the 6th of October, which will be followed by a face-to-face meeting at the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles on the Monday, the 13th of October, from 12:15 to 13:45 local time. So in addition to members appointed by the chartering organization, the CDWG is also open to anyone else interested to participate in this effort. So if you would like to join this effort, you know, please contact my colleague, Grace, whose email address is here on the slide, and she will add you to the mailing list for this group. If you're interested in further information about this effort, you know, you can follow as well, you know, the links here to the workspace of the CWG, as well as the charter in which you can find further information on what the scope and working methods of the CWG are. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Bart.
Thank you, Marieke. So I'm Bart Boswinkel. I'm based in the Netherlands and not in Amsterdam, just for the record. I want to take you through a more mundane cross-community working group, which is more or less the natural evolution of a previous group under the umbrella of the CCNSO. And this is the cross-community working groups on the use of names and country and territories as TLD. And this one is really more policy-related. The charter was adopted by the CCNSO, GNSO, and ALAC, and the GAC has shown interest in this topic as well, and they are working on a related topic on geographic names in general. But I'll explain a little bit about the scope of this working group so you really understand the interdependency between the GNSO, the CCNSO, and ALAC and the GAC. The purpose of this working group is to review the country and territory names and the use of it under the current ICANN policies for delegation of TLDs, so that CCTLDs and GTLDs and IDN CCTLDs. And it's to advise the broader community on an uniform definitional framework that a concept to describe how could country and territory names be defined and which categories do exist and how do they work under the different policies, how will they be allocated, and see if there is the community can define a consistent framework to deal with it. So first the feasibility, and then secondly, if it's feasible, develop the framework itself. So to really appreciate the scope of this working group, as I said, this is about the use of names of countries and territories, and what is meant is countries and territories listed on the ISO 3166 list, which is the definitional list for CCTLDs, so that's limited in scope. So other geographical indicators, for example, regions or city names, etc., are excluded of the scope of this working group. As I said as well, this is the use of country and territory names as top-level domains, so second or other level, the use of second or other level is also excluded. And I know, and you all will be probably aware that There are some requests for the use of country and territory names at second levels as part of the new GTLD process, but that's excluded of the work of this working group. So that's the scope and purpose of this working group. The working group is at is developing a kind of baseline to start looking into the feasibility. In order to achieve this, they've reviewed the policies as identified by its predecessor, the CCNSO study group, and they've reviewed the typology developed by this study group as well. And they, the working group agreed that this work is a very good baseline for the next work item, that is the review and understanding whether a framework is feasible. So the next main activities of this working group starting in LA is reconfirmations of the issues identified of the study group, because that will define the scope for such a framework if feasible, so what needs to be addressed. And the initial discussion will start at the Los Angeles meeting. And the second related item that will be discussed in the Los Angeles meeting is a work plan from, say, between Los Angeles and Marrakesh. The working group had developed a work plan from the London meeting up to the Los Angeles meeting. It was reasonably detailed, and they met all the milestones, etc., as you will be able to read in the progress report that was just published by the working group itself. Some further information, you can look at it at your leisure. That's it on this working group. They will have a meeting on Thursday morning at 8:30 till 9:30, I believe. And it's open as always. And I now want to hand over to my dear friend and colleague, Olaf Nordling.
Thank you very much, Bart, and good evening from Brussels. My name is Olaf Nordling, and I'm responsible for staff support to the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GAC. I'll tell you a little about the GAC GNSO Consultation Group on GAC Early Engagement in GNSO Policy Development Processes. And I think the name says it all. We haven't even tried to make an acronym out of it. And there are good reasons for this initiative. Well, the GAC and the GNSO have different roles. The GNSO develops policies for generic top-level domains, and the GAC produces advice on public policy matters. But at times, these roles may touch on the same issues. So there are good reasons and a joint interest to improve cooperation, and also joint desire that to explore ways on how to get the GAC involved in early stages of GNSO policy development activities in order to prevent divergences that may occur later in the process. And this is something that was also highlighted by the ATRT-1 as well as the ATRT-2, the Accountability and Transparency Review Teams. So it was started actually already in late 2013 after the Buenos Aires meetings with an equal number of members from both GNSO and the GAC. And they early on realized that the work should be divided into two work streams, the mechanics on how to improve the day-to-day cooperation on one side, get the cooperation actually working much better, and also to investigate the options for the GAC engagement in the GNSO PDP and the various process points. So actually the what, where, when, and how to actually engage. It has advanced quite substantially, and a first pilot project, notably GNSO liaison to the GAC, has been launched, and it will take effect in Los Angeles. And there are other recommendations that are being developed and will be discussed and hopefully approved in Los Angeles, primarily at a joint GNSO GAC meeting, which will take place in the GAC room on Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. In the GAC room. And also the consultation group will have its own meeting later on Sunday in Wellington, the GNSO room, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And for those who are interested, or at least curious, there are plenty of reading material and listening material as well, and there are plenty of links here, and I can only recommend you to attend the consultation group session at ICANN 51, which will take place, I repeat, on Sunday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. There will be more about the GAC as such later on, but now I hand you back to Marika to tell you about the GNSO as such. So, Marika, please.
Thank you very much, Olaf. So, back to the GNSO. So, and now we start focusing on some of the policy activities of the GNSO, or the generic name supporting organization. As we only have limited time today, we're only going to highlight some of the ongoing activities, noting that we have nearly 60 GNSO-related meetings scheduled for the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles. So with that, I'll just turn it over to Lars, who will be talking to you about the first topic, which is the inter-registrar transfer policy.
Thank you, Marika, and hello, everybody. I'm going to give you a short overview of the IRTP Part D working group in the next few slides. First, a quick background for those few among you who are not yet familiar with the IRTP. The inter-registrar transfer policy is a GNSO consensus policy that was first developed in 2004 and has been under review since 2005. This being the fourth and final of those reviews. The IRTP is an important policy, which is highlighted by the fact that transfer-related complaints are still the second largest number of complaints received by ICANN compliance, with, I believe, 6,300 and a few in the past 12 months alone. This Part D PDP has been tasked with six charter questions, as you can see on the slides, four of which are about the TDRP, the Transfer Dispute Resolution Policy. One is about the IRTP penalties, and one about the forms of authorization, the FOAs. You might remember, if you follow these webinars and or the working group itself, that the group published its initial report in March this year. And during the public comment and reply period that followed, the group received four comments and very diligently and fruitfully, I might add, worked through them and has then been able to submit its final report only last week. The report contains 18 recommendations and has been submitted to the GNSO Council for its consideration during the next meeting, which you know will take place in Los Angeles. I'm not going to read through all the 18 recommendations you will be pleased to hear, but I give you a smaller overview nevertheless. As you can see from the slides, the working group recommended reporting requirements for TDRP rulings. You can find more details in recommendations 1 and 2 of the final report. The group also addressed multiple HOP scenarios in recommendations 3 and 4. Those are situations where an alleged non-compliant transfer takes place that is then followed by one or more compliant ones before it's detected and the TDRP is brought forward. The TDRP statute of limitation has been extended in recommendation 5. From currently 6 to a future 12 months. The TDAP has also been modified in Recommendation 10, where the registries have been removed as first-level resolution providers. And the working group decided not to allow for registrant-initiated TDRPs, but the list of use cases is annexed to the final report, and that is to guide future policy development in the area of registrant-initiated transfer disputes. The working group has also recommended to improve the display of information for registrants on transfer-related issues. Details you can find in Recommendations 11 and 12. The group, after some debate, decided to maintain the use of the forms of authorization, the FOAs. And finally, the working group has also recommended in its final review a future database review of the IRCP, though this should not take place, according to the recommendation, until after all the recommendations from this and previous IRCP PDPs have been implemented and in operation for 12 months. As I said earlier, the final report will be considered by the GNSR Council in Los Angeles. There will also be a presentation during the GNSR weekend by the chair of the working group, James Bledel. And if the GNSR Council adopts the final report, it will go out once more for public comment before it's then considered by the ICANN board, whether it will adopt the 18 recommendations that are brought forward in the report. And you can find the report on the GNSR website and also all other information regarding the working group. There's also links here in the Adobe Connect room to the final report, the initial report, and the wiki page of the group. And I believe that is all for me. I will pass you on to Judy Hatland. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Lars. This is Julie Hedlund, and welcome to the webinar. We're so glad you could join us. I'm going to speak to you very briefly about a policy development process that's underway on the translation and transliteration of contact information. A little bit of background for you. The working group was chartered to determine whether it's desirable to translate and or transliterate all contact information into one language or script. The working group started its work in December 2013, and it has sought and analyzed community feedback, and it is monitoring other related activities such as the expert working group, the study on the feasibility of translation and transliteration, and other WHOIS-related efforts. Why is this important? The continued internationalization of the domain name system with growing numbers of users relying on non-Latin scripts. The need for standardized query of international registration data and assurance of its functionality, and ongoing reforms of GTLD directory services, such as the expert working group's recommendations, makes the need to establish consistent GNSO policy on translation and transliteration of contact information pressing. Some recent developments. The working group has considered a straw man document and now is looking at developing an initial report, and they will be discussing some of the possible recommendations that could be included in an initial report during their meeting in Los Angeles. And how can you get involved? This working group is open to all members, so new members are welcome, and there is a contact for you. You can join the working group for its face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles, and that will be on Monday the 13th at 1500 local time, 2200 UTC, and the link for the information about that meeting is there on your slide. And, of course, you'll have these slides available for reference as well. Thank you, and now I would like to, here's some other links for you, the charter, the wiki page, and where the issue report will be posted. And now I'd like to turn things over to my colleague, Mary Wong. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie, and hello, everybody. It's me again, and I will be your companion through another few working groups in the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or the GNSO, starting with this working group for a policy development process on the accreditation of privacy and proxy services. That's rather a mouthful, so this is ICANN-LAN. We have an acronym, and it's the PPSAI Working Group. Before I get into what this group is doing, for those of you who haven't been following the issue or the topic, a privacy service is essentially a service that you can sign up for when you register your domain name, which will allow you to hide some of your contact details from the publicly accessible global Whois database. And as you know, the Whois database contains information about a domain name, the registrant, including contact details such as an admin or a tech contact. A proxy service is very similar for all purposes, except that with a proxy service, you're actually registering under somebody else, a third party, so that it is that third party's contact details and not yours that are displayed in the Whois, meaning that where the privacy service hides some of your contact details, a proxy service hides them all. You see on this slide that the background to this particular GNSO working group lies in the lead-up and the negotiations for the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or the RAA, the new form of which was approved by the ICANN board last June. As part of the RAA negotiations, the community identified a number of high-priority topics, and the issue of accreditation of privacy and proxy services was one of those issues highlighted. Because this was not dealt with in the negotiations, what the new RAA has is a temporary specification that deals with the issue, but because it's temporary, it runs only to January 1st, 2017, or the start of a formal ICANN accreditation program, which ICANN has promised, whichever first occurs. So as a result of this, after the board approval of the new RAA, the GNSO Council commenced the policy development process, or the PDP, on this single issue. And the group has been meeting regularly on a weekly basis since then. And I noticed that there are a few working group members on the call. Welcome, and I'm sure that they can provide you with more information should you like to have some. As many people know, all working groups chartered by the GNSO Council have a formal charter that scopes out the issues and the questions that that particular working group is tasked to tackle. And in this particular case, there were a number of questions that the working group divided into several or seven categories, and some of these are listed here. You notice from this slide that some of the categories of questions cover some long-standing issues in the ICANN community, including, for example, the use of relay and reveal procedures. This, as I mentioned, the working group's been meeting regularly, and the aim is to produce an initial report by early 2015 for public comment. You'll recall that I said the temporary specification in the new RAA runs only to January 2017, and as such, the working group was under a little bit of time pressure, and hopefully we will meet this deadline. And as with all GNSO reports from each of our working groups, there will be an opportunity for public comment when that initial report is released. And following the public comment, the working group will then review every single public comment received, prepare a final report, and send that to the GNSO Council for its review and approval. As with all the other groups that we're talking about today, we have included links here on each of the sections regarding further information about each group. And in this particular case, the PPSAI Working Group will also be meeting in person at ICANN 51. And here are the details. Please check the actual final schedule, which we have the link here for the exact location and time. And we hope to see you there. Another policy development process, or PDP, that was ongoing in the GNSO as a working group concerns the protection of so-called IGO and INGO identifiers in all GTLDs. I'll explain IGO and INGO for those not following the issue in a minute, but I wanted to pause here to note that this particular PDP covers not just the new GTLDs that are rolling out now and that continue to be rolled out, but also the so-called legacy GTLDs such as .com, .biz, .org, and so on. So what is the issue here? with needing to protect IGO and NGO identifiers in all legacy and new GTLDs. Well, first of all, I should say that IGOs refer to international governmental organizations. These, of course, as you know, are international organizations that are constituted by governments or states. INGOs, on the other hand, refer to NGOs or non-governmental organizations that operate internationally. And two of the best known, partly because they have been the subject of discussion as well as policy work in the last couple of years, would be the International Red Cross Movement and the International Olympic Committee. As I mentioned, this PDP covers all GTLDs, and it also covers the top and second levels in these GTLDs. For various reasons, and there's some background information that we've linked to at the end, IGOs and INGOs have asked for protection at the top and second levels for their names, but most particularly for their acronyms because of the issue of abusive domain name registrations that impact their public interest missions. And this is what this PDP was chartered to evaluate. What is the need and what are the sort of protections that the GNSO would like to recommend in all GTLDs? In this particular case, the GAC had also provided advice on this specific topic, and the GAC had provided advice specifically on protections for IGOs and protections for the Red Cross as well as the IOC. As a result, as an interim measure, as the GNSO was conducting its PDP, and while awaiting the GNSO's final recommendations, the ICANN board put in place certain temporary or interim protections for those organizations that were covered by the GAC advice. The PDP was chartered, like I said, in late 2012, and about a year or so later, the working group wrapped up its work and came up with something like 25 consensus recommendations, all of which were unanimously adopted by the GNSO at its meeting in Buenos Aires last November. As you recall, I mentioned that the GAC had provided advice on some of these organizations as well. What happened at that point was that if you looked at the GAC advice and the GNSO's policy recommendations, there were some inconsistencies between the two. And as a result, the ICANN board directed its new GTLD program committee, or the NGPC for short, to develop a proposal that would take both the GAC advice as well as the GNSO recommendations into account. This was done around the time of the meeting in Singapore earlier this spring. And the board, through its NGPC, the GAC, and the GNSO continued to discuss the issue. So, for example, around the time of the London meeting in June, a letter was sent from the NGPC to the GNSO Council asking if the GNSO Council might consider invoking one of its procedures, and we named it here. If you wish to look it up, it is Section 16 of the GNSO's Policy Development Manual, which allows the GNSO Council to suggest amendments to policy recommendations prior to their adoption by the board. And this request was in specific reference to those remaining recommendations that were seen as inconsistent with GAC advice, and these relate to IGO acronyms or their abbreviations and some names of Red Cross organizations, specifically the national societies. As I mentioned, there continues to be discussion, and the GNSO Council met with representatives of the NGPC quite recently and are discussing the issue as to whether or not they wish to invoke the GNSO procedure and recommend the amendments that may be required. The last bullet point here is the last thing I'll say about this specific issue. It's important to note that the GNSO Council cannot just unilaterally amend the policy recommendation that came from a working group. If it does wish to proceed down the path of amendment, it needs to do two things. First, it needs to consult with the original working group that came up with the recommendation, and it needs to publish the proposal for public comment. Then and only then can the GNSO Council decide on a final amendment or not, as the case may be. And that's the state of things for those remaining recommendations that have inconsistencies as between the GAC and the GNSO. For those consensus recommendations that were not inconsistent, and which were adopted by the board. An implementation review team is the next step. And so this is something that we would request that those of you interested in the issue look out for, because this particular team will, among other things, review those interim protections that were put in place that I mentioned earlier in my presentation. I know this is a lot of information, as is the case with many of our working groups and their updates that you see in this webinar. So here, again, are the links, including to the PDP manual, as well as to the correspondence between the council and the board on the issue. I'd like to move on now to another PDP working group on a similar and related topic. And the reason why this new working group was chartered by the GNSO. In my last set of slides, I had talked about the original working group that looked at protections for IGOs and INGOs in all GTLDs at the top and second level. And I mentioned that they had come up with 25 recommendations. One of these recommendations relate to so-called curative rights protection measures. And many of you are familiar with the existing Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, or the UDRP, which is perhaps the oldest ICANN consensus policy and therefore is binding on ICANN's contracted parties, as well as a similar new Uniform Rapid Suspension Procedure, also known as a URS, which was developed specifically for the new GTLD program. And they're curative rights in the sense that if someone registers a domain name in bad faith and you have a right in that domain, you can file a complaint under the UDRP or the URS, as the case may be, to cure that problem. And under the UDRP, if the complainant wins, the domain name is either canceled or transferred to you. Under the new URS, as the name implies, the domain name is suspended. On this slide, we've noted the specific problems that IGOs and INGOs have with using either the UDRP or the URS. For IGOs, for example, by their very nature, they are immune to national jurisdiction. And for both IGOs and INGOs, the current procedures are designed for trademark owners or owners of similar types of legal rights, and they may not be in a position to have those trademarks. And so because of these specific problems, the original working group that completed its work last year had asked the GNSO Council to take a look at the issue. And as many of you know, before a PDP is started by the GNSO Council, it is mandatory to first have an issue report that scopes out the nature of the problem, and that is published for public comment. And you see here on this slide that all that was done, and the GNSO initiated the PDP and chartered the new working group in June at the London meeting. This slide talks about the scope of the charter for the working group and the tasks that it has been asked to evaluate. And the one thing I'd like to mention on this, for those of you who have been following the GNSO work, is that you will know that next year in 2015, there's actually supposed to be a review of all the rights protection mechanisms, including those developed for the new GTLD program, as well as the UDRP. And what I'd like to emphasize here is that this is not that review. It doesn't overlap. It is a very specific PDP looking at the problems faced by IGOs and INGOs in using the UDRP and the URS. So again here, some further information. And this particular working group is also meeting in person. And so please join us if you're interested in contributing to their work and providing some feedback on this issue. On that note, I'll hand you back again to my colleague, Marika. Marika?
Thank you, Mary. Getting off mute here. So now briefly talking about the policy and implementation working group. As some of you are undoubtedly aware, there has been an increased focus over the last couple of years of how to deal with policy and implementation-related questions, such as what happens if a policy issue is identified during the implementation, who decides whether something is policy or implementation, and do we actually have sufficiently clear processes in place to deal with these kind of questions. So as a result of those conversations, the GNSO Council formed a working group to focus on a number of questions that specifically relate to policy implementation in the context of the GNSO. So the working group has spent quite a bit of time to get its groundwork done, and as a result has produced a set of working definitions and principles that are now underpinning its deliberations. As a result of these discussions on whether there should be alternative processes for the GNSO to provide guidance or input apart from the existing policy development process, the working group is now considering recommending potentially three additional processes, namely a GNSO guidance process, a GNSO input process, and a GNSO fast-track process, which would allow for more flexibility in the way the GNSO provides formal input to the board or others in relation to GTLD issues. The working group has now also focused on some of the implementation-related questions it is expected to address, such as how consultations should take place between staff and the implementation review team, what processes should be in place for the GNSO Council to deal with implementation-related issues or policy questions that are raised during the implementation phase, and how are implementation review teams themselves expected to operate and function. So the working group is targeting to publish its initial report for public comment in time for discussion during ICANN 52 in February of next year, and as such is very eager to hear from the community during its face-to-face session in Los Angeles, which is scheduled to take place on the Wednesday, the 15th of October, from 16:30 to 18:00 local time. For further information about this initiative, you know, please feel free to visit the links on this page. And now I'll cover briefly some of the other projects that will be discussed in Los Angeles and in which you may have an interest to attend. So first of all, there's a new GTLD subsequent procedures discussion group. So the GNSO Council formed this group following the last ICANN meeting in London to review the first round of the new GTLD program and discuss and reflect upon the experiences gained with the objective to identify which issues will need to be addressed before a future round can kick off. So the group is currently in the process of collecting issues, so that we'll be in a position to categorize these, gather as much information as possible about each of these, and then eventually put forward recommendations to the GNSO Council on how these issues should be addressed. For example, you know, by recommending the initiation of a policy development process on certain topics. So the discussion group has planned an open meeting, which is taking place on Wednesday, the 15th of October, from 8:30 to 10:15 local time. The data and metrics for policymaking working group is a non-PDP effort, which is looking at standard methodologies of reporting and metrics that would assist fact-based policy development and decision-making, as well as being able to assess that once a policy has been implemented, if it actually did what it was intended to do. So the working group has now completed its review of previous GNSO efforts in relation to data and metrics used, and are now in the process of preparing for further conversations with contracted parties concerning collaboration in relation to metrics and data requests for policymaking. So this working group also has an open meeting scheduled in Los Angeles on Monday, the 13th of October, from 10:30 to 12:00 local time. So, and although not a project initiated by the GNSO, but as a requirement under the ICANN bylaws, I also wanted to briefly mention the work that's underway in relation to the GNSO review, which formally kicked off earlier this year. The GNSO review working party, which has been created by the GNSO Council, is currently acting as a liaison between the board's Structural Improvements Committee, which is responsible for managing the review, as well as the independent examiner, which is carrying out part of the review. And this group has been meeting every 2 weeks in the recent months to discuss the 360 assessment survey, which is part of the review process, and next steps linked to that. Please note that the survey is still open until the 17th of October, so if you have not participated yet, please consider doing so because your input is really important into this process. So as many of you probably know as well, WHOIS was created in the early 80s as a mechanism to contact those responsible for operating a network resource on the Internet. However, since then, you know, WHOIS has been used for many additional reasons, and we've also seen the introduction of other scripts. But few changes have been made to the underlying protocol or the services that are using that protocol. And in addition to that, you know, issues such as data accuracy, reliability, accessibility, privacy, and readability have been raised many times as well as extensively discussed it, but without a clear solution to addressing these issues. So recognizing the importance of you know, solving or addressing these issues, and also inspired by the recommendations of the WHO's review team, the ICANN board requested an issue report on the purpose of collecting and maintaining GTLD registration data and on solutions to improve the accuracy and access to GTLD registration data. And in the parallel to that request, the board also directed the creation of an expert working group to look into these issues. And those recommendations are expected to feed into the final issue report and help inform the policy development process. In the meantime, the EWG has published its final report, and now the GNSO and the board are expected to start an informal conversation on what the next step should be in this policy development process and how the EWG recommendations will fit into that. A first meeting of that informal committee is expected to take place in London to start off this conversation. So with that, we've reached the end of the GNSO topics for today. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask them at the end of our webinar or type them in the chat, and we'll do our best to answer them. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Bart Wassenkel.
Thank you again, Marika. Just want to share with you two slides about the composition of the CCNSO, and just to make you understand, as the CCNSO may not be as familiar to you as the GNSO, the diversity of the CCNSO. First of all, its membership is voluntary, and to date we have 152 members, from all ICANN regions, so from all over the world. And as I said, this is voluntary, and it shows the diversity of the CCNSO itself. Secondly, with the council, you'll see the same. There will be a council election, and as you see, the council election is organized by region. So the CCNSO council comprises of 15 CCTLD members and 3 NOMCOM members, and of the 15 CCTLD, there are 3 from each ICANN region. So again, diversity all over. And this is important for some of the topics I want to discuss with you, and some of the dynamics in the CCNSO and the CCTLD community, around, say, what is the hot topics and what will be the hot topics during the LA meeting. First of all, it's the IANA stewardship transition and process and the enhancing ICANN's accountability process, which is clearly on everybody's mind and also on the CCTLD community and CCNSO community's mind. And secondly, a specific working group or coordination committee that is related to these two processes, and this is a manner in which the CCNSO Council and the others who've been selected on the different group want to engage and inform the CCTLD community at large. Then a really policy-related topic, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, and I want to touch upon some of the other topics going on within the CCNSO. So first of all, on the IANA stewardship transition process, as you can see, it is high on the agenda and a hot topic in at the CCNSO meetings in Los Angeles, and is currently also attracting a lot of attention from the CC community. Again, this is just for your information, the CCNSO and the CCTLD community at large is involved in the ICG and in the cross-community working group. What is interesting, what the CCNSO has done, it has created what it's called a coordination committee. The purpose of this committee is to coordinate all the efforts of the CCTLDs in the different working groups, and in future those CCs who will be selected or participate in the accountability process will become official members of this group as well, is to coordinate the efforts to inform the CCTLD community at large and engage them. As you've seen, there are only 152 members of the CCNSO, while there are over 250 CCTLDs in the world. So one of the major concerns of at least the council, but also of the regional organizations, the CCTLD regional organizations and others, is to engage the broad CCTLD community in these processes. As I said, membership is ex officio, and more information can be found at this URL. Now a little bit on the related sessions during the CCNSO meeting days in Los Angeles. As most of you will know, the CCNSO meets on two consecutive days, on Tuesday and Wednesday. Their meetings are open, so the sessions are spread out evenly on Tuesday and Wednesday. There will be a session to provide an overview of the current initiatives to the CCTLD community presence, and there will be a panel discussion to solicit the views of the CCTLDs present on the IANA stewardship transition process. So this is more a substantive discussion from related to what the views of the individual CCTLDs, but also what the CCTLD community at large, especially the regional communities, view as major issues and a direction of travel. More information, again, this is for your leisure to look at. Now I want to touch upon, something that's more policy related, and that's the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. And this working group is reaching its final stage, meaning it's submitting its final report to the CCNSO and to the GAC shortly to seek their support. So in that sense, again, this is an example with some characteristics of a cross-community working group. For those of you who are not familiar with the Framework of Interpretation Working Group and what its scope and purpose is, it's not around new policy. It is an interpretation of the existing policy, but the existing policy, or the documents related to the existing policy, date back to 1994. So that's almost 20 years. So you can imagine there are some changes, or there is a need for reinterpreting the policy. As I said, it's not a CCPDP, so not a policy development process, and it has the characteristics of a CCNSO working group. As I've always also said, and this is the cross-community characteristic, is both the CCNSO and the GAC need to support and or endorse the recommendations of this working group before they can be submitted to the ICANN board. And then finally, the topics that has been discussed by the working group and went through already to an extensive public consultation process is obtaining and documenting consent, significantly interested parties and the definition that used to be known as the local internet community, and revocation and unconsented redelegations. That's a new terminology, and a little bit on IANA reporting and the glossary of terms to come up with a uniform terminology. Progress of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, again, have a look at your leisure. I touched upon it already, so I'll move on to some of the other activities of the CCNSO. Again, working groups. Some of it, the working groups you'll see right now, are not so much policy related, but they are used as a mechanism to share information with the broader community, or provide services or develop services to the broader CCTLD community. say the first one is so the implementation of a contact repository for security incidents is one of those examples for providing a service to the broader community by the community itself. The second one is that they've made some progress and they will report to the community. The second one, the strategic and operational working group, again is a working group which has provided input on ICANN's strategic plan and on its operational plan and budget. They will meet in Los Angeles to discuss with ICANN staff the way their comments have been received and how they've been taken into account. And then finally, the technical working group. This is a working group specifically organizing the Tech Day, which is evolving from CCNSO to a broader Tech Day for the whole community. So again, that is meeting, and Tech Day will be on Monday. Some CCNSO committees that are still ongoing, again, to give you a sense of what is happening in the CCNSO. One is the Travel Funding Committee, and the second one is the Triage Committee. This is a council committee dealing with all the requests for input and or feedback from the CCNSO Council, making recommendations to the CCNSO Council in order to prioritize them and to check whether they the requests are relevant from a CC perspective. As already alluded to, the CCNSO is also participating in the joint working groups. These joint working groups, they are all we've already discussed with you this evening, just to show the diversity of the activities of the CC community and CCNSO in particular. Some general information, and that's my run-through of the policy-related work and what will happen in Los Angeles from a CC perspective. Now I want to hand over to my colleague, Barbara Roseman.
Thank you. I'd like to give the update on the address supporting organization. The ASO Address Council is formed out of the various RARs, and they elect three members from each region. One person per region is elected each year, and they are holding their elections during this current meeting season. They've recently helped us complete an infographic that shows the relationship of the Address Council and the RIRs to the ICANN policy structure, and this infographic is not currently on our website, but it will be by the time of the meeting, and we should have it available for distribution during the meeting. It's fairly complex, so I don't expect you to get all of the details from this, but it is a very useful infographic, and we hope that it will be shared broadly. The ASO will be participating in ICANN 51, not through a formal meeting, but several of their members are going to be in attendance, and they will be meeting with the ICANN board and ALAC. Additionally, all of the CEOs of the RIRs are going to be attending ICANN 51. There's an ASO information session scheduled on Wednesday, 15 October, in the afternoon, and the agenda for this will be available as it's prepared. I'd like to hand this over now to Carlos Reyes to give the update on the Root Server System Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Barbara. This is Carlos Reyes, and I support the Root Server System Advisory Committee. The RSAC has made significant progress since ICANN 50 in London, particularly with regard to its ongoing restructure effort. Just last week, the RSAC published RSAC 000, which is its operational procedures document and provides processes and procedures to facilitate the work of the RSAC. It also defines the roles of the co-chairs, liaisons, and the purpose and scope of the caucus, which I will elaborate on momentarily. Staff has also streamlined support services for the RSEC to facilitate their work. As I mentioned, in July, the caucus was formally established. It currently consists of 52 members, DNS and root server system experts, and they carry out the essential work of the RSEC. There are currently two work parties to complete ongoing revisions to two upcoming RSEC advisories, one on service expectations of root servers and the other on recommendations on measurements of the root server system. Both are expected to be completed later this year in November. Finally, in line with its renewed profile, the RSEC has been engaging more deeply with ICANN. Of course, the RSEC appointed two members to the IANA Function Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, as well as a new liaison to the Nominating Committee. And looking ahead to the meeting in Los Angeles, the RSEC will have several private working sessions, but there will be a public information session on Wednesday, October 15th, from 10:30 to noon, when the newly formed caucus will convene for the first time. And with that, I will hand it over to my colleague Julie Hedlund to provide an update on the Security and Stability Advisory Committee.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and thank you, everyone, for joining us again. Just some notes about recent ESSAC activities. There are a number of work parties that are conducting various developments of documents and so forth in the ESSAC. The topic areas are the IANA Function Stewardship Transition, the Public Suffix List, the workshop that was held at the Internet Governance Forum in Istanbul, and the ongoing DNSSEC sessions, including the ones planned for ICANN 51. And if you're interested in the ESSAC reports, they're published at the link there on the slide. To highlight the events at ICANN 51, there is a DNSSEC for Everybody, a Beginner's Guide session on Monday the 13th from 1700 to 1830, a DNSSEC workshop on Wednesday the 15th from 8:30 to 14:45, and the ESSAC public meeting from 8 to 9 a.m. on Thursday, October 16th. And I'd like to speak to you a little bit about what the IANA Function Stewardship Transition Work Party has been doing in the ESSAC. I'm not going to go through this background because my colleague, Marika Konings, had covered this information earlier in this webinar. So just to save time, I'll skip ahead a bit, but I will note that these slides are available and you will be able to reference them. And again, I'm not going to go too far into this, but as you see on the slide, these are the current IANA Functions contract functions. That is the contract between ICANN and NTIA. That's the domain name system, root zone management, the internet numbers registry management, protocol parameter registry management, and the management of the .int top-level domain. So the most significant development recently was that the ESSAC published a document, SAC 67, on the 15th of August of this year. This report establishes a baseline of understanding for those interested in how the uppermost level of the Internet system of unique identifiers is managed, describes the activities included in the IANA functions contract, and describes the functions performed under the IETF MOU. The report focuses on the IANA functions contract and describes all of the activities related to the IANA functions as they are currently performed, including those that lie outside of the IANA functions contract. And there is another report that the ESSAC is currently developing. This report is likely to be published in October of 2014, so just later this month. The report will provide an overview of the key elements of the IANA functions contract and document the role that NTIA currently plays with respect to the IANA functions based on current public contractual information. Thank you very much for joining us again today, and I'd like to turn things over to my colleague Olaf Nordling for the GAC update.
Thank you very much, Julie, and hello again. Time for a few words about the GAC and what's happening on that front. The Governmental Advisory Committee, well, they have already 141 governments as members and 31 IGOs as observers. And this number, these numbers are increasing. There will be a handful of new members announced at the LA meeting. They typically meet, the GAC, at the face-to-face at the ICANN meetings, but intersessional work is of growing and considerably growing importance done remotely in working groups and conference calls. And the mission of the GAC is, well, as you may know, to provide advice to the ICANN board on public policy matters or on public policy aspects on any matter. In Los Angeles, well, there are policy-related activities, and since quite some time, they spent much effort and time on the new GGLE program, and they hope to be able to conclude the few remaining issues in that domain in Los Angeles. But there are lingering issues, and Mary mentioned the IGO protections. So may go on for a bit on such. But there are other topics to address in Los Angeles, and top of the agenda for the GAC as well as for many others are the IANA stewardship transition and ICANN accountability, both from procedural and substance perspectives. Who is always high on the GAC agenda, and this time not only for the GAC itself in their sessions, but also they prompted what I would call an omnibus session on all things WHO IS that will, for the whole community, that will take place on Monday. Two-character domain names is an emerging issue prompted by a number of so-called RCEP requests from new GTLD applicants and registries for the use of two-character domain names, something that the GAC will have to relate to. So that will be addressed in Los Angeles. Also, human rights and ICANN, that is on the basis of a draft document produced by the Council of Europe, which happens to be one of the observer IGOs in the GAC. That's a topic that was already discussed briefly in London and will be discussed a little further in Los Angeles. The GAC will also hold two information sessions for the community. Those will take place on Wednesday morning. First, between 8 and 9:30 a.m., a GAC open forum, slightly extended in comparison to the open forum that was held in London, to inform about the GAC's work and its structure and so on, and the way to produce a communique, for example. And also by a subgroup of a working group for future new GTLD rounds, a draft document on geographic names. And that will be presented 9:30 to 10, also in the GAC room, on Wednesday morning. And for that, comments have been invited already, and community input is welcome until the 31st of October. The GAC will be meeting with other SOs and ACs, and also the board, which traditionally it's a particularly well-attended session by the community. Will take place on Tuesday late p.m., as tradition has it. Also, plenty of other activities. Quite importantly, elections. The current chair and the three vice chairs of the GAC all reached their maximum term in Los Angeles, and there will be elections for the first time for those positions. Previously, chairs and vice chairs have been selected by acclamation. There have been one candidate for each post, but here we have two chair candidates and six vice chair candidates. So elections there will be on Tuesday. Also, the HR2 recommendations contain quite a few elements that need addressing by the GAC, and those will be taken care of by the board GAC recommendations implementation working group as a supervisory function for all this, by a GAC working group on working methods, by a particular working group that's established to cooperate with the global stakeholder engagement and government engagement department of ICANN, and as mentioned previously, the GNSO GAC consultation group for early GAC engagement in GNSO PDPs. So, not surprisingly, the GAC has a full agenda in Los Angeles from Saturday midday till Thursday midday. But note that all sessions are open, all, except for the communique drafting session, which takes place on Wednesday afternoon. So, with that caveat, you're most welcome to the GAC meeting room, which is called Plaza Pavilion, and where you can enjoy proceedings in all six UN languages, plus Portuguese. And with that, I conclude concerning the GAC and hand over to Heidi Ulrich, my dear colleague, which will tell you all you want to know about the ALAC. Take it away, Heidi.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Olaf. Hello, everybody. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Senior Director for At Large. And today I'm joined by two of my teammates, Ariel Liang, At Large Policy Coordinator, and Sylvia Vivenko, Manager At Large Regional Affairs. We are delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the At Large Advisory Committee, known as the ALAC, and the At Large community that have taken place between the ICANN meetings in London and Los Angeles. We will also provide a preview of at-large activities that are being planned for ICANN 51. However, first, for those of you who may not be familiar with the organization of the at-large community, I would like to take just a moment to review its structure. At the base are the at-large structures, now numbering nearly 180. These organizations work closely with local end users throughout the world on ICANN-related policy issues. They provide input to ALAC policy advice statements and are active in outreach activities. The five regional at-large organizations, or RALOs, serve as the umbrella organizations for the at-large structures in a particular region. They serve an important role in ensuring two-way information exchange between the at-large structures and the ALAC. The ALAC is the 15-member body within ICANN that represents the interests of Internet end users. They develop policy advice statements in response to public comments and send policy advice statements to the board. A total of 10 members are selected by the RALOs, two from each, and the remaining five are appointed by the nominating committee. And beginning in 2010, the ALAC and the chair of the regional at-large organizations have been given the ability to elect a director to the ICANN board. I would now like to hand the floor over to Ariel, who will provide an update on ALAC policy activities and activities regarding the implementation of recommendations from the second at-large summit. Ariel?
Thank you, Heidi. My name is Ariel Liang, at-large policy coordinator. Over the past 3 months, the ALAC has submitted 10 policy advice statements in response to ICANN public comment requests, which brings to a total of 34 statements this calendar year. In particular, the ALAC has endorsed a standing statement on the introduction of two-character domain names that helps streamline the process of responding to future similar public comment requests. Seven community members from diverse backgrounds and geographic regions drafted these statements. To read more, please visit our correspondence page on atlarge.icann.org. Besides engaging in policy advice development, the ALAC has been kept very busy with the follow-up work after the second at-large summit, also known as Atlas II. In London, 150 at-large structure representatives from 70 countries worked together in thematic groups and produced the final declaration, a key deliverable of the summit. It contains 43 recommendations for the ICANN board, staff, and community stakeholder groups on ways to improve their practices. Leading up to ICANN 51, the community has been focusing on transforming the 43 recommendations into concrete, actionable pieces, easier for the recipients to implement. Ranging from the Technology Task Force to the Future Challenges Working Group, different facets of the community have taken on this task. The ALAC also created the Atlas II Implementation Task Force to oversee the transmission of this task and ensure that the recommendations be carried out in a timely and truly bottom-up fashion. In Los Angeles, the ALAC will brief the ICANN board on the progress of this important work. To get the latest updates, please visit our post Atlas II activities workspace in the community wiki. Over to you, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Ariel. I would now like to review the ALAC and at-large activities that are going to take place in Los Angeles at ICANN 51. During the ICANN meeting, at-large will be holding 27 formal meetings as well as interact with other members of the community during numerous other public meetings. The ALAC will be meeting with the ASO-NRO, the board, the CCNSO, the GAC, Diana Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, the NCSG, the NOMCOM leadership, both 2014 and 2015 chairs, the ESAC, and senior ICANN staff. There will also be an at-large roundtable with a session on privacy and proxy issues, as well as one entitled Ultimate and Innovative DNS. This roundtable will take place on Wednesday, the 15th of October, between 10 and 11:30 in the Olympic Meeting Room. And also at the end of ICANN 51, Olivier Crepin-Leblond, who has served as ALAC chair since December 2010, will be stepping down. He will be replaced by Alan Greenberg for a one-year renewable term. And also in Los Angeles, Renalia Abdul-Rahim will take her place on the board seat 15 as the board director selected by the ALAC and at large. She will be replacing Sebastian Bachelet, who has served since December 2010. And also there will be a new at-large leadership team, the executive, as well as a new ALAC liaison to the GNSO, and they will be fully known very shortly. And also of note, which is not on the slide, is that in the Los Angeles meeting, for the first time, at-large structures will be serving as hubs for remote participation on Thursday, the 16th of October. And over 20 at-large structures have applied to serve as hubs. I will now hand over to Sylvia Vivanco, who will update you on the activities of the five regional at-large organizations during ICANN 51. Sylvia?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, everyone. My name is Sylvia Vivanco. I am Manager of Regional Affairs for at-large. I would like to speak to you about the RALO activities at ICANN 51. AFRALO, APRALO, LACRALO, and NARALO will hold their monthly meetings face-to-face at ICANN 51. AFRALO will hold the AFRALO African Joint Meeting on Wednesday, 15 October from 14 to 15:30 local time with the theme The IANA Functions Stewardship Transition and ICANN Accountability Seen by the African Community. This meeting will have the participation of Adiel Akploga, AFRINIC CEO, and Pierre Gandiuno, Vice President for Africa, and the participation of AFRALO leaders. APRALO will hold this monthly meeting on Wednesday 15 as well from 8:45 to 9:45. One of the highlights of this meeting will be the discussion of the implementation of the APRALO APAS Hub Pilot Framework and the specific steps to implement this strategy. LACRALO will hold this monthly meeting on Tuesday, October 14 from 12:15 to 13:45. This meeting will include, among other issues, a presentation and conversation with Rodrigo de la Parra, Vice President for Latin America and the Caribbean, on regional strategies and the synergies with LACRALO. And finally, NARALO will hold its monthly meeting on Wednesday, October 15, from 11:30 to 12:30. In this case, 10 self-financed at-large structures will participate in person to discuss issues such as outreach activities and engagement activities. And I would like to also invite you to a very special event, the NARALO Outreach Event, on Wednesday, 15 October, from 18:30 to 20:30 local time at the Olympic Meeting Room. On the theme, Our Internet, Our Stories, and Our Network, First Nations of the World. The keynote speaker will be Jacqueline Johnson-Pata. She's the Executive Director of the National Congress of American Indians. And this event will showcase how Narralo is striving to engage the First Nations communities in North America. You will also learn more about Narralo's outreach strategies and activities throughout North America and how important these groups are as stakeholders for this community. This evening promises to be a very good opportunity for outreach, networking, and to also watch a very interesting performance, the traditional First Nations hoop dancing, and enjoy. So please join us. And with this, I'll turn it over to Carlos for Q&A. Over to you, Carlos. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. At this time, we encourage our participants to press star 1 to join the queue to ask questions of our policy development support team. And in the meantime, we received several questions regarding the work of the ICG as well as the ongoing IANA transition discussions at ICANN. Those questions we are referring to the stewardship website as well as the most recent blog post by Teresa Swinehart. Operator, are there any callers with questions? Okay, no questions at this time. We also received a question about the proposed change to the ICANN bylaws regarding the GAC. And again, we have a written answer here provided on screen, and further information is available in the link. And then we also received another question regarding new GTLDs and the mandatory 90-day claims period. And again, we're referring that question to the GDB website as well as the most recent blog post from the GDB team. All right, it appears that we have no questions. Again, the slides, the presentation, the recording will all be made available and posted. And for now, I hand it back to David Olive to conclude our webinar.
Oh, thank you very much, Carlos, and those participating on the call for our presentation. In terms of how best to stay updated, I would recommend that you read or subscribe to the monthly policy update. The URL is there where it can be sent directly to you. It's available in the following languages as well for your convenience. Also, please follow us on Twitter at the various places indicated here on this slide, or contact us at policydeckstaff@icann.org. The other point to highlight for those of you who may be new to ICANN or new to the policy development process, the GNSO hosts a newcomers webinar series every month where you can have an informal session talking to the chairs and other members of working groups within the GNSO about their procedures and process and how to get involved. And the next session is listed here on Thursday, the 23rd of October. The other thing to note is that the materials will be available online, the slides and the recording. I think someone had posted the URL in the chat, and I'd ask Natalie to do that again so that you can take a look at them at your leisure and be prepared for the meeting in Los Angeles, either if you're going to be there in person or remotely. In terms of the policy development team, many of them you heard today participating in and providing details of the various groups that they're working with and facilitating the work of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. There are 23 of us in the policy development staff and a few other consultants as well to support you in your efforts at policy development inputs and activities at ICANN. With that, this is our attempt to audition for the ICANN, the movie on policy at Los Angeles, but I think we may not be ready for that at the moment. Instead, we ask you to come in person or participate remotely at the ICANN 51 meeting in Los Angeles, where you will be able to have a front row seat in the policy development process, as well as in other activities that were highlighted by our webinar today that will be taking place in Los Angeles. And with that, I would like to thank you for taking the time to be part of our webinar and to meet some of the subject matter experts involved in the policy team as we prepare for our meeting in Los Angeles at ICANN 51. And with that, I would like to thank everyone and wish you a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Thanks very much, and safe travels to those that we'll see in Los Angeles. Goodbye.